Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello, hello, hello to you and welcome, especially those of you who are listening here today. If you are listening from wherever you are in the world and you have the intention for 2023 to really work on your health, on your fitness level, on the way you exercise, if you had the intention of exercising more this year, as we do in January, many of us have intentions of taking care of our nutrition more, intentions of stopping to drink alcohol, intentions of probably even having more sleep or taking more self-care into your agenda. Anything that you have as an intention for this year, if you are taking your health into your own hands, and I believe as a listener of this show and of UK Health Radio, this amazing platform, I believe that you are one of the few in the whole global world that is living consciously, that is listening to this show and to the UK Health Radio platform or the podcast platform to actually hear inspiration and motivation to better your life. And today I am talking to Dean Zweck. Now, Dean is the product development manager of Total Fitness. Now, Total Fitness is indeed, we're going to probably talk about it, but Dean works across the 15 clubs all over in the UK to really include the general workout advice, the running, the nutrition, the working out as you age. All these things he wants to offer, really an extensive expertise across the fitness industry. Now, Dean has more than 20 years experience in the fitness industry. He previously worked as a personal trainer, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that because he's one of these people that has a passion for fitness, a passion for exercise. And so now, as a key member of Total Fitness brand development team, he works across the whole country, really leveraging his previous experience in the fitness industry and really focusing on really giving all these people who want to really level up their fitness level to, you know, he founded a new squat session, which is in a small group where you do a workout. So I'm sure we're going to talk about exercise. We're going to talk about stress because exercise is such a great way to bust your stress. And so I'm sure we're going to talk about all of these things. And I can't wait to have this conversation because I'm sure he's going to give you and me a lot of story, a lot of tips, a lot of strategies regarding exercise and regarding bettering your life, your health, your fitness level. So I'm really looking forward to this. And after this little break, I will talk to Dean Zweck, and I trust that you and I, we will even be more inspired and more motivated than ever to really exercise, to take it seriously, because movement is such an important part of our health. If we want to stay healthy, we need to really exercise, whether it's walks, whether it's on a fitness level, really a competitive, it's all up to you. It's individual, whatever you choose that exercise can mean in your life. I'll talk to you just now after this little break.
The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to you, loyal listener out there who is taking his health in his own hands. And I, as I said in the intro, I am so pleased to talk to Dean Swack today. Welcome, Dean, to the show.
Thanks, Danielle. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us, how did you as a product development manager of Total Fitness, what is your story? How did you become this fitness industry, actually?
Well, I've always been interested in kind of health and fitness. And my journey began when I went to university, and I was quite skinny for an 18-year-old boy. I was 9.5 stone.
Okay.
Which I'm definitely not 9.5 stone anymore, and I wasn't at the end of uni. But everyone else was kind of bigger and stronger and fitter than I was, and it made me quite self-conscious. I've worked in the industry for about a year by that point. And I remember going into a gym, joined the gym in my first year, and I was doing the bench press exercise, and I got trapped underneath the bar, and I had very little weight on there. And it was a bit embarrassing. I managed to get myself out of it, didn't ask for any help. And I suppose for then it was like, well, can I make myself bigger and stronger and fitter? Just for me, firstly. And I really enjoyed that. And I went through university, I did a sports and health degree. And then I became a personal trainer about.
What was the reason that you did that sports and health degree? What was the reason behind it? What was the why?
I always wanted to go into health and fitness, and I wanted to do something, and it has nutrition in that as well. So kind of a holistic view on becoming better.
Yes.
And I still didn't know at that point where I wanted to go. I thought I wanted to go into personal training. I wasn't 100% sure, but I suppose my path has been quite clear from a young age. I'm one of the strange people that really enjoys exercise. I know that's not true for every person, but I'm 100% sure that there is one form of exercise out there that everyone enjoys.
Yes.
It might not be traditionally going to the gym. I mean, for myself, I love going out, running up a hill, going on my bike or doing some climbing. If I could do one form of exercise, it would be something around kind of hiking up mountains the rest of my life. That would be me.
Wow. So you knew already from a very early age. That's quite unique, because a lot of people don't even know what they're going to do. So it's not for nothing. So you had that passion, I believe. And so tell us a little bit about what kind of exercise you did. Did you have a stressful young life? Did you have a lot of stress? What happened in your, what was your biggest stressful moment?
That's a great question. I feel like I'm quite privileged in my upbringing. So the lights have just gone off. Let me wave around a little bit. Okay. I don't remember a lot of stress in my upbringing. My parents stayed together. I had a good close network of friends. Going away to university, I knew no one, and that was quite daunting, being the first one of my siblings to move away, but found a little circle of friends again. I suppose what did cause me stress was I gained in the last year of university and my first the year post, I gained a lot of weight.
Okay.
And that was because I started working in an office. So I'd always worked in gyms up to that point and been quite active. And then working in that office, diet wasn't great. I was doing lots of overtime sat at a desk. And without realizing, I gained a lot of weight. And my friends being lads, and they gave me a bit of stick, and it was all lighthearted. But it was at that point I knew that that office job wasn't right for me. So I then became a personal trainer. And just by being active again, playing football, going to the gym, and just doing a more active job, I got back down to my previous, kind of my post-bat weight, and looked and felt a lot better for doing that.
Wow. So what would you advise someone, you know, the person who's listening today and who recognizes himself in being in that office? There are so many people there, and it is strange for them because they know they should exercise, but often there's no time or no possibility. Or is there something that you could advise them?
Yeah, so if you look at the guidelines for how much we should do, it's about 2.5 hours per week.
Okay, that's interesting.
If you could do 20 to 30 minutes a day, and that could just be a brisk walk.
Yes.
And you can chunk it as well. It doesn't need to be in one go. So it could be 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening. If you could find opportunities to be active, it could be you have a walk-in meeting rather than sat down at a desk, and you could just go for a walk if you've got the space to do that. It could be that you, depending on you do it first thing in the morning. And one of my biggest tips is if you lay out your gym kit ready to go and you get up and put it on straight away, you'll probably train.
Yeah.
If you get dressed or do something else, you're just creating another barrier where you've then got to get undressed and put that kit on. And I've been in that situation before. It's like, if I put my jeans on first thing on a weekend, I'm not training that day. So I have to put on my
gym kit. I love that. I really love that. That's such a practical little tip that can actually change your life.
Yeah. And me and my wife, we've got a 3-year-old boy, and we both like to run, but we've got times when we just look after him, and he still has a 2-hour nap in the afternoon, but we can't go out with by ourselves with him. We can't go out for a run. We bought an indoor treadmill, so at least we can then jump on that and find, we've got time to train. So not everyone's going to be able to buy an indoor treadmill, but it's just something that we do to go, well, we want to exercise. We'd like doing that form of exercise, but we've got a barrier, which is our little boy. But that's the solution to that problem.
Yes. I think you are a very practical man, isn't it?
I like to think so. I like very solutions focused.
Yes. 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 And isn't it also, you know, your passion for exercise, your passion for having a healthy body, your, you know, isn't it also the goal of I want to stay fit? And isn't that also a very important thing?
Yeah, so my reason for being fit has changed. It's never been for me aesthetics and looking a certain way. So for me, it started off playing sport and the social aspect and being with friends. So playing football, that was where it kind of started. And then from football, I got into kind of running and then marathons, ultra marathons, doing some obstacle course, like the Tough Mudders, which I loved those because it was a challenge for me. But it was also great to see people of different fitnesses and sizes and ages all coming together to help each other on those obstacles. I want to be fit to be a great example to Elliot, my little boy. And it's things like when we go for a walk together and he's tired, I might need to carry him, and he's not light anymore. he's not in his pram. But just being fit enough to kind of pick him up and to like throw him around still, and he loves all that. And he comes into our little house gym, and he's done one run with me, did a 1 kilometer run, his first run. But for me, he becomes kind of my motivation to stay fit and healthy as I'm in my 40s now. For everyone that's kind of in this age, it gets harder. It does.
Yes.
It's hard for me to kind of maintain my fitness, someone that's in the industry. So I can totally empathize where what everyone else goes through on their own personal journeys.
Mm.
I like exercising. Sometimes I find it hard, but I set myself kind of goals to, I want to achieve this by the end of the year, and I yeah. chunk it down. So what does that mean per month? What does that mean per week?
So now, that's also a mindset. Hey, that's what I wanted to say. It's like putting goals and the why. Why are you doing it? Your why is such a beautiful one, Dean, because it's my why as well for anything I do in life, to be an example as a parent. And for me, it's a grandparent, you know, having four grandchildren by this time. So isn't that the most wonderful motivation, intrinsic motivation?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, look, kids learn, I've learned that very quickly, that they pick up on everything that you do.
They copy you.
They copy you, yeah. So, and it's, I suppose it's a duty, it's a responsibility to do that for children.
I agree. So tell me, because as you say, you didn't have that much of a stressful, you know, life. Is there anything that you can say to anyone listening now? What exactly is the base, as you said, 2.5 hours per week is the basic exercise? Tell me a little bit about the multitude of benefits that exercise has to offer without adding too much stress. Because I need to say this, that in my practice, I have people, when I start talking about exercise, they are already stressed because they know they should do it. They know the benefits. They know, but it's just so overwhelming to plan it in. And as you say, I love what the tips that you gave already. But can you talk a little bit about those multitude of benefits and without adding too much stress?
Yeah, so if you look at what exercise can do for you, it can help you with your fitness. It can help you with your strength, your balance, your agility. It can build muscle and tone you up. The thing that I really love about exercise that I suppose isn't spoken about as much is you go to the gym to fail. If you're doing a set of exercise, you go to, you can't do any more reps. I couldn't do one more. So I've not got to 10, I've got 8. The next okay. time you've got 9, the next time you've got 10, the next time your weight goes up. So, but you always kind of, but whenever you go up to that next weight, you get to a point in which you can't do anymore. So you've kind of failed again. But that fail builds that kind of resilience and that confidence that I am starting to achieve. I couldn't do that before. I can now do that.
Okay.
And that self-mastery, that self-efficacy is huge. It's an unspoken benefit of exercise. Obviously, if you're doing exercise that you enjoy, it can release kind of those endorphins and serotonin,
yes.
which is going to help that kind of improve mental health as well, stave off illnesses. So the fitter and the more exercise you do, the less chance
True.
You've got of things like diabetes, obesity, and cancer risk decreases. And there's also some research saying you're less likely to do to engage in crime, criminal activity. So it has a society benefit as well. But to exercise requires a certain element of stress added to the body. So if you're doing if you're doing weight, you need to add stress to break down muscle fibers, to build them back stronger.
Okay.
If you want to get or build them up bigger and stronger, you need to overload the nervous system to recruit more motor units when you're training. You also need, if you're doing kind of fitness work or cardiovascular training and you're getting your heart rate going, that becomes a stress. So your body then needs to build more blood vessels or have more enzymes to get energy from food. So you need to add that stress firstly to the body. And I like to think of it as everyone's got a
I find a that interesting because so you are saying you need to add stress to the body out of the comfort zone, like doing more, ask the body to, you know, to suffer a little bit to actually move forward. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I wouldn't say suffer because I don't want to kind of associate anything negative to it, but you do need to challenge and overload the body slightly compared to move out of your comfort zone to then improve. If that's your goal, if your goal is to improve, your goal is just to maintain, and you don't need to necessarily go to that length. But that either mechanical stress or metabolic stress, you need to add that to the body. And I like to think of everyone, everyone has a stress bucket.
Yes.
And everything from financial stress to work stress, relationship, family stress, and exercise stress all goes into this one big bucket. And if it fills up too much and overflows, that's when things get unmanageable. And I self out on this when I was a lot younger. And I had a lady that was training, and we were on the treadmill and we were doing a run. And I was pushing her that day, and just as my role as a personal trainer, yes, to try and encourage her to get better. And we were on this hill climb on the treadmill, and I still remember, like, you can do it, you can do it. And she went, I can't. I said, you can, you're almost there. She went, I can't. And she hit the stop button and ran off in tears. And I was like, you know, she ran into the change rooms, and I couldn't follow her, obviously being male. Mm. So I asked one of the female staff to go in and just check on her. And she'd had a really bad day at work, and her boss was on top of her, and things were like, she had so much stress from outside. I didn't ask her anything of that. I just assumed she was coming into the session as she normally was. And I've added a really tough, yes, training session on top of a stressed person.
Yes.
And her stress bucket overflowed.
Yes. That was the last trigger. Mm.
It was. And what we did, we went downstairs, we had a drink, we had a chat, and she felt loads better just by having that conversation, not training that day, compared to when she walked into the gym.
Yes. I see what you're saying.
And then once I then started to research, what are some of those kind of, well, how can we stop that from happening? And I like to think of it as kind of four questions to establish how much exercise you can do and how much stress you can add to that bucket.
Okay.
And those four questions are, how well have you slept? One, amazing. Three, terrible. Two, somewhat in the middle.
Why is that question so important?
We recover through sleep. So our body heals through sleep. Our cortisol levels drop through sleep. So if we aren't getting enough sleep, then we're going to wake up with some stress left.
Okay.
The second question is, how well fed and hydrated are you? One, great, three, not great, two in the middle. How are you feeling physically? Do you feel okay, or have you got some aches and pains? You're a bit stiff. How do you feel kind of physically? And how do you feel mentally? Have you got a lot of outside stress? Do you score those out of three? If you score more than 9, so 9, 10, 11, 12,
say that again. I can't. So you have the four questions and you score them what?
Score them out to three. The one is everything's amazing on that question. Two, I'm in the middle. Three, I'm not. So if it's sleep, I might have only slept for 3 or 4 hours.
The more negative, the less. Yeah.
Yeah. Advice. One's good, three's bad, two's in the middle.
Okay.
If you score 9, so it's out of 12, the lowest you get is 4. The most you get is 12. 9 and above, try and ease back on your training that day. Mm. And some of the more stressful types of exercise are HIIT training.
Yes.
That requires a lot of energy. And if you're already stressed, that might not be the best choice for you on that day. Long cardio, so like 90 minutes and above, doing that type of training would be quite stressful.
Yes.
And really, really heavy weights at high volume. So if you had a session like that lady, she was doing a really tough training run, really hard. She was already stressed. It became too much for her.
Yeah, agreed.
If we had just done a little, maybe walked and done some weights, or done something more fun based and some stretching and mobility work, she probably would have coped with that session fine.
I agree.
And she's still been active. So I think I really like that stress bucket analogy, and also those four questions to kind of check in with yourself to begin with. See what your score is. The trick for me is scoring it and then going, oh, I'll still do it anyway. You need to have that kind of discipline, self-discipline to go, it's not going to be the best thing for me. If I'm going into a training session already stressed, I'm probably going to get injured or ill at some point.
Yes, I agree.
And when your cortisol levels are elevated, it stops your, I'm going to be a little bit technical, but your type 1 muscle fibers from being recruited. They're kind of your postural muscles, your core muscles. If you can't recruit them into your training session, you're not as stable, you're not as strong, and you're setting yourself up potentially for injury.
Are we talking about core stability?
Core stability, yes. Yeah. They'll be those muscle fibers, definitely.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do something that requires.
We just had a little issue technically, but here we are again. So, Dean, can you explain about that weakening of the muscles due to cortisol, et cetera, with the core stability?
Yeah, so you have kind of type 1 and type 2 muscle fibers. Type 1 are like your core muscles, your postural muscles that need to kind of be, they've got quite long endurance, they need to be used all the time. And if they, if you can't recruit those as effectively when you train, if you're going into a session that requires you to be in optimal condition, you're less stable, your core's less stable, your joints less stable, you're more likely to get injured or not be able to perform as well. And if your session requires that kind of level of performance and you're not in optimal shape, it's best not to set yourself up for that injury, and just to reduce that session. And then when you've maybe slept more, you're a bit more fed and hydrated, then do that session again another time.
Okay. So we talked about when it's more than 9 up to 12, ease on the training. What's the other one? Is there a middle kind of thing where you get an advice when about those questions, those four questions?
So if you score between 4 and 8, you're generally going to be okay to do what you had planned. If you do score a 9, it's probably best to engage in something that's, because there is certain exercise that is more stress reducing in nature.
Can you give an example?
Well, for me, yoga, Pilates, Tai Chi, that kind of meditative breath focused exercise is phenomenal. So when you focus on breathing, and we're talking about kind of deep diaphragmatic breathing, full breath, it activates your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest.
Yes.
When you've got your stress system, your fight and flight, which has a multitude of benefits in terms of kind of lowering stress, decreasing heart rate, decreasing blood pressure. But it kind of relies on that breath focusing, which is integral in a yoga and Tai Chi session. You move with the flow. Forgive me, yogis. I think, is it pranayama? It's the breath. But also, you've got things like manifestation and kind of gratitude. And it's psychologically impossible to be thankful and feel,
I agree,
angry and stressed and anxious at the same time.
Yes.
If you're focusing on that positive energy, then you can't be negative. So it just gives you that break from things that are going on outside. And I think if you focus on an exercise that you enjoy, it's your time to close away from everything that's going on. Now, the type of exercise doesn't necessarily matter. It's just something that you enjoy. One of my clients, he's a cyclist, and where you do that exercise becomes important. So, i.e. outdoors versus indoors. And he said to me recently, if I do 3 hours outside, it feels like an hour. If I do an hour indoors, it feels like 3 hours.
Oh.
And I find the indoor cycling much harder, even though I do less. I don't perform as well. But if you take me outside, where there's fresh air and scenery and nature, and I'm getting a hit of vitamin D as well, then the exercise just feels so much better. So if you're someone that doesn't like exercise, try and do, and maybe now winter's not the right time to start. But
yeah, but even 20-minute walk or 20-minute whatever.
Walk. Exactly, 20-minute walk. Can be a great place to start for someone, because there's so many benefits by being around nature. There is some research that say we've got some kind of fake grass growing on behind me. I don't know if people could see the video, but if there's kind of wood in the places where you train, especially bamboo, that's been shown to calm
stress.
Does
that make a difference?
Yeah, it does. I think it was the Chennai University. It was about 5 years ago, but it calms a stressed mind. It decreases anxiety and improves concentration. So, which is why if you go into like a yoga studio, they generally have kind of nice bamboo and pictures of nature around. But gyms are moving down that way as well. So when you come in, maybe on the entrance, there's plants and things, because it helps get you into that mindful moment of leave my stress behind and go and do something that I enjoy for 30 minutes or an hour.
So do you, because you are the manager regarding total fitness, let's talk about total fitness, because that's all inside. So tell me about the purpose of total fitness. What is the mission statement there?
Well, I suppose for total fitness, and we pride ourselves on the variety that we offer for, so we've got kind of up to 8 ways of working out, and that includes swimming, which is an excellent stress reducing activity.
Well done.
A lot of the kind of smaller, well, the budget operators don't have the luxury of swimming pools. So a lot of people join us to use our pools. The blue and the water and the buoyancy can when you train in a pool, you have less stress because you're not using your body weight. We have group X classes. So being around loads of other people, other all having people. A good time. Those classes, we have up to kind of 35, 40 people in some of these classes. Wow. That can be a reason for people coming to the gym. So it's not just we have great gym floors and you can achieve almost any goal in our building, but our classes, our swimming. We've got something called squads, which is small group training. So you get much more individual attention from your coach. But because you're in a smaller group, you can actually start to connect with people. And at the end of each round, so we do some cardio, we do some resistance, we play games. So you get you do some fun stuff with the people in your group, either as a partner or as a team. Like just in previous companies work for, you've done like balloon games and stuff where you just have to keep balloons off the floor. We did it for National Fitness Day a couple of years ago. Just in an office, you get 10 balloons, 5 people, balloons touch the floor. And everyone moves around, their heart rate gets elevated, they smile. If you can find ways to make exercise more fun, people will do it more.
Yeah, I agree. So the fun factor is a really important one. And I like it that we're talking about this now, because as we all know, we all have our January thing that we say we're going to exercise this year. We're going to do this year. But how can, if you ask me how people can actually keep on doing it and having the discipline to do it, it's about fun. You need to do something that you enjoy and not do something that your neighbor is doing or that you see on social media. I just wanted to talk a little minute about the social media stress on exercise, because you see other people faking results and saying they are doing this and see me here and see me there. But that's not it. Eh? It's all about your individual, and that's what you've been saying, your individual preference, what gives you joy to go outside and do this, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a pressure through social media to look a certain way. And I suppose if I can give any words of wisdom to the listeners, when you see someone in a magazine on social media and think to yourself, I want to look like that person, just remember, they don't generally look like that person. So I suppose it's reframing. You aren't fat. You aren't defined by your body fat levels. You have fat, and you might want to lose some fat, and that's okay. But you aren't fat, and it pains me when people say, "Oh yeah, I'm fat." Mm. Like, well, no, you have fat. We all have fat. We all have a certain element of fat, and it's that comparison to other people that you can never be. The leanest, the fastest, the biggest, the strongest, unless you are that one person out of the 8 billion humans on the world, on the earth, that is that person. So I would never be the fastest runner. But if I can get better by setting myself a realistic target and celebrate each step that I take towards that goal, it's going to give me motivation and
just a better version of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
And we all get drawn into it. I think target setting is really important, but make it realistic. And we have great personal trainers in our gyms that will help if that's something that people struggle with. Talk to an expert who can help you set a target. You might not need that support through the journey, but what is achievable for me? And you, Daniel, you mentioned something there about kind of those kind of befores and afters you see. And I suppose it's just always, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. If it was the cure, then everyone would be doing it, everyone would be getting results.
I agree.
But fat loss, I suppose, is just one benefit of exercise. So if you're only tracking your progress and
it's all about progress, not perfection, we always say.
Yeah.
Personal development, it's Love all that. About progress and not perfection. And if people could just get that into, I mean, that is for me almost one of the key principles of mental health. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. As I say, just being a little bit of a better version of you today than yesterday, then you're absolutely fine. And I loved what you said about I am fat or I have fat. I mean, in my practice, I see it every week with my clients, Dean, how people, the words that follow I am, I'm too old, I'm stupid, I'm a loser, I'm stressed, the identification with the words that follow I am, are they have such a lot of effect and impact on your mental, emotional, physical health, in your cells, everything. So I love what you say about I have fat, but I am not fat. You know, it's a big, big difference.
It is. Exactly. How you identify starts with a statement and a belief. And that belief then will dictate your behaviors and your results from that. I became a dad 3 years ago, next Wednesday, actually. At that point, my identity changed. My wife, when she became pregnant, she was pregnant. So she didn't drink. So people say, I can't give up alcohol. Well, if your identity changes to someone, I don't drink, I am not an alcohol drinker, then, and you say that statement and you make that commitment to yourself, you will live that identity. So it just starts with that statement. I am someone who loves exercise.
Yes.
So if you say that to yourself and you put that out there and your words become your actions and your behaviors and your habits, then it starts with that. If you focus on some positive manifestation, find something that you enjoy. Is it by yourself? Is it me time, escapism, or is it with other people? Is it in a gym? Is it outside? Is it yoga? Is it swimming? Is it sport? All these different things to get the benefits. But look at all of the benefits holistically. Look at strength, mobility, look at body fat if that's important to you as well, but don't just focus on the weight on the scale. Look at other benefits as well. Look at improvements in your sleep, your resting heart rate, blood pressure coming down, all those health markers, because you're probably improving all of those, just not looking at them.
True. And not realizing it, that every single time you go for a walk or for half an hour, 20 minute walk, you are doing something for your health. People think always about exercise, and so I'm so pleased that you talked today about a few tips on little things that can help us, which is, if there's one huge advice that you want to give to people, one thing that you stand as a personal trainer that you've been, as a dad, as the guy who loves to exercise, is there one thing apart from the fun that you want to say to people?
I think it's just start. You don't have to be perfect. So if you want to achieve something, the first step is the hardest. So it doesn't have to be 2.5 hours per week to begin with. It might just be once. It might just be going to the gym once. You've got a gym membership and you walk through the door and you grab a coffee in the cafe, but just start. Just go to the gym once.
I agree.
And then if you can go to the gym, maybe then next week you try and do two. Or if you're doing a workout, just try and do one rep more.
Yes.
So once you get started, then try and do these improvements and celebrate every win. So if it's the first time you've engaged in something, celebrate that. Tell people, write it in your gratitude diary, but celebrate that. That's a huge step.
I know. We need to celebrate the little things in life, hey?
We do. And then if you're an experienced exerciser, set a realistic goal and give yourself something to aim for. But depending on where you are on that spectrum, on that continuum, then there's going to be these steps that require celebration. And I think that's really important. Find something you love doing, get started doing it, and celebrate.
Great. And is there a quote, Dean, that you live by to keep on going and to be disciplined to do what you do? Is there a statement, a quote, some life statement or something, even being a dad? I don't know. Is there something that you live by for yourself?
Yes. Well, two points on that, Danielle. The first one is people ask me, how can you keep exercising? It's like, if you love reading books, do you need to be motivated to keep reading? You just do it. You like doing it. So I said at the beginning, I'm a bit strange, but I like exercise. I like most forms of it. And not everyone does, but if there's one thing that you can do that you find that you enjoy, you're going to keep doing it. But for me, my purpose, my motto is inspire people to become better. That's what I've lived by. I started off as a personal trainer. I then helped other PTs and fitness staff learn more to help more people. And now I'm doing that across kind of gyms. So with our 100,000 members that we've got, and hopefully through your platform and other, it's not just through for our members, it's a general population, but yes. if we can all work together,
yes,
to become better and inspire people to become better, then we're winning.
And how, I'm going to ask you a different question. How can I inspire you today to become better? What do you need to be inspired to become better? You, yourself.
So, do you know what? So I had a conversation with my manager that this was outside of my comfort zone. I like writing articles because it can take the time, but to actually just talk to someone on camera has took me outside my comfort zone. But it's also, it has inspired me to become better. I had to take my own advice of just start. This is my first interview on a platform.
Oh, great.
Like this.
And well done. Congratulations.
Thank you. If I didn't start, I can't get better. So I have to take my own advice. And by offering me this opportunity, then I hope I've become better and more confident through and being able to share kind of my 23 years in the industry.
Yeah. And also what I said to you when we met, don't forget, you don't have to be a professional speaker to do an interview and to inspire people. And it's like me. I'm not a radio presenter. I'm not an expert in asking questions. And I'm a health professional who wants to inspire people to become better, you know, exactly what you just said. So it's all about sharing your story. But I'm so happy for you that you came out of your comfort zone and that you even are sharing that vulnerability, because that takes also courage. It takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable. So thank you for doing this, because it might inspire whoever is listening, the listener, you, who needs to come out of his comfort zone to get better at something, you know? So it's really an inspiration. Thank you for that.
No, thank you. And hopefully it came across as genuine and authentic, and it was valuable to people.
Anything you just want to add, something we didn't talk about that you would think that could benefit people listening today about exercise to bust stress? Is there anything else that you think beside exercise that can bust your stress? I loved your gratitude thing. That's for sure. We talk about it often in my shows. Is there anything else or anything you want to add?
Just a couple of things. Just a word of caution on goal setting, and I fell victim to this myself. I was trying to exercise just to achieve a goal that I'd set at the start of the year. So I set myself a goal of doing 2,000 kilometers running, I did 1,000 miles, 1,600 kilometers the previous year. I was like, I want to do more. I want to do 2,000. And towards the end of the year, I was just running for the sake of achieving this goal rather than I was overtraining. I pulled my cuff. I was still going out to hit this goal.
I agree.
And it was things like closing your rings on an Apple Watch and stuff. We can get too bogged down it becomes overwhelming.
Yes.
And I was training just to hit these things that actually didn't mean anything. So this year I've still got goals, but it's more of I want to achieve this amount of, I've got a couple of events that I'm doing. I'm doing a charity run up a building, 42 flights of stairs in London, abseiling back down for charity later in the year. So I've got things that I want to do and train for, but I'm not going to train for the sake of achieving a goal that isn't important to me.
Okay.
So make sure the goal means something and it's realistic.
I love that.
So you don't put additional stress onto you.
Yes.
So I have
that's
to go
what
running.
I meant when I said in the beginning that people, I should do this. I should continue to, the should that you put up to yourself is very stressful.
Absolutely. And the other part, just
the last thing that you want to add.
Last thing, get a really good playlist for when you exercise. Because if nothing else, or audiobook or podcast, but combine that exercise with something else that you enjoy.
So
you're going
great.
To have an hour of your time. So even if it's go on an exercise bike in the gym and watch an hour of your Netflix or something like that. rather than sit at home, you've made yourself better physically.
Oh, great.
And you've still not taken away from something else that you enjoy.
Thank you so much for this wonderful conversation and your vulnerability and honesty. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Dean. I'm going to play a little music and then I'll come back to everybody just now.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Really impressed with the simplicity of this conversation. I am sure that you had a few tips in this interview. There's quite a lot of advice and tips and strategies that you and I can really start applying today. And I'm going to give you a little summary of what I remember of this conversation and what I am going to start doing in my life, because I need it as much as you do. We all do, you know, exercise. And please, exercise is one of the basic principles if you want to go from stress to authentic success. So first of all, Dean was talking about 2.5 hours a week is actually really enough. If you go for a walk, like even in a walk meeting, he was actually advising that, which is such a great idea. Instead of sitting around the table, go for a walk to do the meeting. So he was saying, if you do about 20 to 30 minutes a day during the week, I mean, that's a great start. And what I admired also was that he was really, really clear about all the benefits of exercise. And one that I remember now is the fact of self-mastery. It is true that by doing exercise and really getting better in exercise, really exercising your body, you also exercise your mind, because you are building resilience. You are building a self-mastery. I really, really love that. And we all know that exercise is an amazing, it prevents us from being ill, from getting ill. Of course, that we all know. But what was interesting to hear was that we need a bit of stress, a bit of overload, a challenge out of the comfort zone to actually improve our physical status, our physical body. And so we need a bit of mechanic and metabolic stress. I found that quite interesting. But what Dean was saying to us, and I want to repeat it here, because I think those four questions were really, really important. How well have you slept is question number one. How well have you fed yourself and hydrated yourself is number two. How well are you feeling physically is number three, and how well are you feeling mentally? These four questions will tell you how you can do your exercise. And I think it's such an important advice because so many of us overdo it. Certainly in the month of January, February, we overdo it. And then, of course, we stop. We lack motivation, or our body is hurting too much, or there are so many reasons why we have the intention of exercising. And after a few weeks, that intention goes away. So my conversation with Dean really, really was telling us to actually, first of all, have fun. Choose something that you enjoy doing. And be sure that all what you see, don't compare yourself with anyone else, because everything you see on social media, they don't really look like that. I found that such sound advice. And also we talked about the identity of I am fat. No, you have fat, and it is up to you step by step to take action into that. And as he suggested to us, just start. The first step is the hardest. And I totally agree. And what they do in Total Fitness is actually really interesting, because they give so many different ways of exercising, like the swimming in the water, like the social classes with many people, so you can also improve your social life, like the squat sessions that he founded to exercise in smaller groups. So there's so many different ways to exercise. And the stress reducing exercises are, of course, the yoga, the tai chi, the focus on the breathing, all that. But to finish off, what I really liked in this interview was those simple tips, like the 2.5 hour walk, just to go for a walk meeting. And it really amazed me that he was explaining to us that bamboo, the green grass pictures, they all make a difference. It calms the stress in the mind. It calms our anxiety. So just if you have an office and you have a choice of what kind of pictures or plants or whatever you want to put there, be aware that surrounding yourself with bamboo, with a picture of nature in the woods or in the fields or the sea. I have a picture here behind me always with the sea, because I'm that kind of nature person. I go for the sea, for any kind of nature. And so these are all little tips that can help you to make your exercise practice more enjoyable. So I really, really trust that you can listen to this interview again if you want, either on podcast or on the Listen on Demand, on the UK Health Radio website. Whatever you want to choose, it is up to you. It is in your hands. And I trust that you are more inspired and more motivated, that you really want to do this in this new year, that you want to have fun, that you want to have a joyful exercise practice, because that in the end is the most important. I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.